So, Parsha B'Midbar, in the Heilige Gemara Nayim. So the Torah says that V'Davar Shal Moshe Leima B'Mayel Moshe Midbar Sinai V'Echel Chodesh Hasheni. And the pasuk continues Leimor Su'u Es Reish Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Lift up the heads, count the heads of Gan Klal Yisrael. B'Mizbar Shemais. And we'll see, he'll go through every word in the pasuk. B'Mizbar Shemais, he'll explain every word in the pasuk. So he explains that the Yisayid is Azoy. That Shmai Shaladam Hu Nishmasai. The name of a person is his neshama. Ki Aisei Shal Shmai Heim Shirashe V'Chiyusai. The letters of a person's name, the mamash, the letters are literally his source, his roots in Shemayim, and the source of his life and his life energy. And with the oisius of the name, he is Oved Hashem. And only through the oisius of his name does a person learn. And only through the oisius of your name, the Yadavit. And therefore, Lassad Lavoi, does the Rishoyim, when they come to Shemayim, after death, will not know their names. Because they don't understand their names. A tzaddik will never forget his name, because he served Hashem through the letters of his name. So he mamish brought the letters of his name to life throughout his lifetime. So he lives with his name. So he'll never forget his name. And his name was him. But the Rosh has no shackles to his name. He didn't serve Hashem. The purpose of the name is to give you the connectors to your Sharish Neshama. He never did it, the Rosh. He has no idea why he got this name. The tzaddik Dafka learns through his name. His name is very choshev to him. And therefore, the Rishayim have to come back in the Gilgal many times until the Masakin, the Sharish Neshama. Because you must do it. Every soul has to have a tikkun. And if you don't connect the Sharish Neshama, you gotta come back. Now, by Klal Yisrael, even the time of Har Sinai, even the time left Mitzrayim, there were plenty of people who had neshamas tefula. They were neshamas. We know the Gemara says that Har Sinai paska zuamasan. So there was a zuama. There was a filth. There was a contamination in the souls of many yidden. Which means to say that they were separated from their shayrish. Zuama means their neshamas were not giving them life. So an animal that's alive doesn't rot. If you shecht an animal, the meat immediately starts to deteriorate and rot because it's not alive. So zuama means that the people were rotting. The essential rot that dead people who are not connected with the shayrish have, if you have a sensitive nose, you can smell it. I can smell a rush. You can't smell it. V'aricha b'yiras Hashem, says about Mashiach. The Mashiach will smell someone's Yiras Shamayim. It's very simple. Why? Because if you have Yiras Shamayim, you're alive, you're connected to your source, you're a living flower. Living flowers are beautiful. Dead flowers, once you cut the flower in 2 days, they're dead, they smell, they wilter, they die. It's disgusting. As beautiful as a flower is, that's how not beautiful it is when it's dying. And a human being is even worse. People are beautiful. People are handsome. They look, that tzaddik is shining. But the rush is cut off. You can mamash smell it. You can mamash, he's like a wilted flower. You look at his face. You see it, mamash. You see a person that they are mamash decadent, literally decaying, and you can smell it. So in Har Sinai, there was a zuama. A lot of yidden had a zuama. They were not in Mitzrayim. They really weren't alive. And paska zuamasan at the Kabbalah Torah, they came connected to the Sharish. But when they made the egel, the zuama came back. As I state in Zohar, the Gemara says in Shabbos the paska zuamasan by Har Sinai, but the Zohar says it came back by the egel. And therefore, here, a year later, Hashem says to Moshe, tell Klal Yisrael, Su es reish kol adas b'nei Yisrael, lift them up from where they fell, l'mishbachaisam. Mishbacha means where you come from, your shayrish, your source. The word source in English is cognate with shoresh, source. And l'beis avaisam, because not just the mishbachas, our source is the avos hakadoshim, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankiv. And you have to always say, Ad Moshe Igyo Maisa, the Maisa Avoisai, is a Tana of Eliyo, famous Tana of Eliyo. Kalecha Dechem Yisrael Chayav Loimar, Moshe Igyo Maisa, the Maisa Avoisai, Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankiv. So the base Avoisai means connect with Avois. The Mizmar Shemois, you have to connect with your own name. The way to connect with the Avois, the way to connect with your Mishpach, your Shairish, is by knowing your own name. Otherwise, what does it mean? L'mizmar Shemois. The letters of your name are your shayrish. And then it says, kol zocha v'gulgulaysam, which means that you'll know, Moshe Rabbeinu, tell every yid, kol zocha v'gulgulaysam, how many times they had Gilgal already. How many times they came back in the Gilgal. Because the reason why you come back in the Gilgal, the reincarnation, is because you need a tikkun. And what's the tikkun? Because it is essential. It is critical. It is the purpose of life. That you should come in contact with your name and the letters of your name and thereby know your source and know your mission and know your purpose through your name. If you believe in your name and believe that the letters of your name are connecting you with your source, so then you won't have to come in the Gilgal again. So Moshe Rabbeinu Mamish told everybody why they're here again in the Gilgal, what they missed the last time, how they misinterpreted their names, how they didn't get in touch with their essence and their reality. This is the Yisoid of the Moranayim, Meridik Yisoid. Then he says, Nachazach, this is a Meridik Azach, says that then they counted the Shvata, after they counted every individual person. So then, in this week's parasha, they set up the Machne Yisro, they set up the camp, that every Sheva was given a particular place, the east, the west, the north, the south, right? Machne Yehuda, Machne Dan, Reuven. So, Degel Machne Ephraim. So every Shevet had a place. So it says, Ishal Digloi, everyone was on their Degel, everyone was represented by their banner, Ba'isais Lebeis Avaisam, with the signs of their fraternal family, that's Pashup Shat. But the Medrash says in Shir Shirim that Ishal Diglai Baisa Vesa Vaisam Hadod Siv the Ranana Vishua Secha Vishem Elakenu Nigdoil, which is a Pasuk in Tilim. So the Medrash says that it says in Tilim, we'll rejoice in Hashem's victory. Uvishem Elakenu Nigdoil. And we'll get great, we'll become great with the name of God. So the word Nigdol is cognate with the word Ishal Digloi. Nidgol sounds like Degel. And we know that, Hashem, and the measure continues, it says, how do you know that Hashem loves our Degel? Because it says, Takan Shir Shirim, the Digloi Alayava. The Degel of Klal Yisrael, the banner, the identifying flag, Hashem loves. So what's the shot? So here I think he says a gewaltige chiddush. He says that the yisoid of Torah is aliyah. The yisoid of Torah is to grow higher and higher and get closer to the avos who are the makor shleimus. And Avraham Avinu's mekayem kol Torah kulat shelo nitna, and his love for Hashem was so complete that the whole, he had to do the whole Torah because he wanted to show his full love for Hashem. And Avram is like the head, and the Klal Yisrael of all the generations are like the foot. Like the Gemara says, Bro Kar Davua. The son is like the knees of his father, the lower part of his father. So, we have to rise to the level of the Avos. Now listen very carefully. We do that, Ayidei Oisias, the base of Avosam. Through the letters it says in the pasuk, "Yishal digloy ba'oisas ba'isa ba'isam." What that means is that we use the letters of our name and the letters of the Torah as a ladder to climb back to our avos. But this is all. Listen to what he says now. He says that every one of us has a purpose. Everybody in this room here is a Ben Aliyah. No one here is simple people. Everybody is a chashuv person. And therefore, we definitely in our lives will attract many Jews who have fallen. And the Jews who come into our life who are low level and lost, don't avoid them. Don't push them away. Don't think that they're interfering with, I'm busy with my life's purpose, and these people are going to waste my time. Just the opposite. They're the reason why you're here. So the nudniks, and the nudges, and the shlemazels, and the shlemiels, these are the ones you're here for, and I'm here for. I got lots of them. And the pshat is, why? Because they're tikkun, they're so low, that they can't get to their shorish neshama without an intermediary. And the intermediary is the person who's on a higher madrega than them. And as some shaykhs can relate to their neshamas. And know everybody relates to different people. So those people who need you are definitely going to find you. And they're going to be attracted to you. And you're going to be afraid of them. You're going to be threatened by them that they might drag you down to their low madrega. But don't be scared. They're not going to drag you down. You lift them up. Remember that. You're going to lift them up. And it's going to happen. And there's a tikkun. And you're going to attract those people of a shaykhus, your neshama. Because the neshama is really the oisiyah shenaflu. And the neshama means the letters of the Torah that fell down. And therefore the raising is through the letters of the Torah. And then, if you're doing it through the letters of the Torah, they can jump many madregas, and you can have a very swift tikkun. And that's Yishal Digloy Ba'oisas Ve'savoisam. And that's why it says Digloy Le'ava. And you can jump many madregas. Dilugoy Le'ava. And Hashem loves it when you're misakin, a lost letter, and a lost soul, and a lost spark, a lost nitzus, and you bring a lamala, digloy la'ava. So let me explain that a little better. So the Omar and I is telling us as follows, that everybody here has people lower than them, and the people lower than you have someone lower than them. And the people of Ashaychus, the Yesharish and the Shama, are going to definitely come to you, and you can bring them higher. However, there's two ways to bring them higher. There's the express and the local. The express way is that why these people lost is because the neshamas have fallen very low. And the neshama is really the letters of their name, as we said earlier. The letters of your name are really the sharish of the neshama. You should take your name seriously. That's why holy Jews always tell me they should always call yourself by your full name. If your name is Avram, don't call yourself Avi, Avi, Avremele. Call yourself Avram. Call yourself by the full name. And if your name is Yitzchak, you're not Yitzi, and Yitzchakel, you're Yitzchak. And your son has two names, call him by his full name. Call him by his full name, not by half his name. You're missing out, because every time you mention someone's name, you say your own name, or you address them by their name, you're lighting up their Sharish Neshama. It's very important to call kids by their real name, and their full name. This door, for some reason, people have two names. It's really not, that's probably why we're so confused. You have two names. You have two Nechaim Daiv. We're better off with one name. Some of my sons only call their children by one name. Yeah, all the kids have one name. One name only. Two of my sons, all their kids have only one name. One name. And it's better. Because the time of earlier times, you only had one name, not two names. So Nayazach. That's probably part of our confusion. Because the name is the Sharish Neshama. Now you have two. Who am I? Who am I really? So the kids, one name is the way to go. But there, if you learn Torah with the person who is lost and now is clinging to you, that you should lift them up higher and help them find themselves. So if you're learning Torah, you are mamish, you are connecting this person to letters of the Torah, which is really why he's lost, because the letters, his letters in his own name, somehow he hasn't appreciated them, and hasn't brought them to life, hasn't connected them. But the Rebbe, the Mashpia, who's higher than the lost person, will learn Torah with that person. So that's direct empowerment of the letters of his name. So he'll flock. And that's why it says, "He shall dig like vices the vice of vice." Degel over here doesn't mean banner, degel means lashon diluk, to jump. Do you know how you can jump higher to your source very quickly without going through baby steps? You can make giant steps. The answer is, Yishal Diglai, Ba'aisais, the base of Isam. With the letters, they'll bring him to the base of Isam, bring him back to his source. So if you stam do mitzvahs with this person, we give him eitzes and things like that, that's very nice. But that's the long way. That's not the express way. He's not going to the source of the Shama directly. The way to get to the source of the Shama is getting to the letters of his name. And the way to get the letters is through learning Torah. That's the quick way. And one thing's for sure though, once you help somebody, if you misakin the neshama and find out what he is, he's very confused, he's very lost, as we all are. If you help a person find who he really is, so then you'll give Hashem a lot of nachas ruach. That's right, digla layava. That if you teach a person that bibidalik to jump up from his loma drega, that is the greatest sense of Avas Hashem, and you bring the person back to Hashem, and Hashem misses him. Hashem wants all the lost souls to come back to him. He's on the Gevaltiger service to Rabbi Einstein. This is what the Mori Naim explains here in Parshas Bamidbar. And now, we go a step further, and we go to the, back to the Kedushas Levi on Shavuos. Kedushas Levi on Shavuos. We started last week, and now we go a little further. So here in the middle here, the Kedushas Levi has many pages on this. And he says, he explains why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. He says a number of reasons. Number one, the Gemara says in Yuma, Shleish Iksarim Ba'ilam. There are three crowns in the world. Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Taira. Keser Kuna, Aaron HaKayan took. Keser Malchus, David HaMelech took. Keser Taira is Munach, is there waiting for everybody to take it. Everybody in this room, we might not be able to be Kahana, we cannot be kings, but we can all merit the Keser Taira, the crown of Taira. So, maybe you'll think that the other Kesarim, the Keser Taira, the Keser Malchus, is independent of Taira. So the word it says the Pasuk in Mishlei, be a Malachim Yimleichu, that really the kings themselves get their crown through Taira. Be a Malachim Yimleichu. That ultimately even the crown of David comes from Taira. Because the Gemara says, maybe you'll think that the crown of Kuhn and the crown of Malchus is bigger than the crown of Torah. No. The crown of Torah is the highest, because really the crown, other crowns derive from the Koyach of Torah. Because that's Bi Malachim Yimleichu. So Torah is bigger than Malchus. The crown of Torah is bigger. Biggest crown. So he says, that's the reason why we read Rus and Shavuos. Because Rus is Malchus is David. And David was born on Shavuos. And where was David Zaycha to his Keser Malchus from? Through Keser Taira. Because that'd be Malachim Yimleichu. So there couldn't be a Malchus Beit David coming out of Rus if there wouldn't be a Keser Taira. And the crown of Taira starts on Shavuos. So therefore, we read Rus on Shavuos to show the relationship between the crown of David and the crown of Torah. There couldn't be a crown of David without the crown of Torah. Then he says another reason. I said last year a different reason, that the pshat is very pashut, because Rus is David, and David is Mashiach, and it's telling you that on Shavuos, which is Matan Torah, the Torah means nothing unless you believe in Mashiach. A person doesn't wait for Mashiach, it's kaifa kol Torah kula. So obviously, on Shavuos, the concept of Mashiach ben David had to be introduced to teach you that without that, if you're not waiting for Mashiach, you have nothing. Rama makes it clear, whoever is not waiting for the Mashiach, she doesn't believe in Mashiach, it's not waiting for Mashiach. It's like it's kaifa kol Torah kula. You have to wait for the Mashiach. So therefore, dafka, this belief in Mashiach has to come on the day of Matan Torah, to show that the Torah is based on believing Mashiach. The whole purpose is to bring the Mashiach. No, that's not the point. The point is that you can't be makabel the Torah on Shavuos unless you believe in the Mashiach. So therefore, the whole story of Malchus David, which is the Malchus of Mashiach, has to be read on Shavuos to tell you that the two themes of Torah and Mashiach are intertwined. You have no Torah without believing in Mashiach. That's my hesper. But getting back over here, he also speaks about being a Mashiach, and he puts it a little bit differently. He says that the reason why we read about the birth of Mashiach ben David, the birth of David is the father of Mashiach, it's similar to what I'm saying. He's saying to teach you that you have to wait for Mashiach. And that's why it said on Shavuos, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, doesn't say because the whole Torah depends on it. He just says it. He says, Vaisleis, that's the highest Hasagan Torah. That's the pshat. That Yemais Mashiach, he says it differently. He says the reason why we have to wait for Mashiach on Shavuos is because the Mashiach represents the fulfillment of everything the Torah is all about. We won't be able to fulfill the Torah properly. We won't be able to be master of the Torah properly. We won't comprehend the Torah until we Yemais Mashiach. So that's why it's speaking about Mashiach, a David and David Mashiach on Shavuos, because this is the culmination. This is the essence of what the whole Torah is all about. Mashiach. That's his explanation. And he says even weiter. He says another thing he says, another reason we need Rus on Shavuos is because the Zohar says, we learned the Zohar a couple of weeks ago. The Zohar says, I believe it's a part of Balak. On the pasuk in Vizayis Abraka, Hashem mi Sinai ba, Vizar mi Seir Lomai, right? Afi mi Har Parah, Vyasim Rivayis Kaidish. We all know Hashem came to Esav and he asked him to makabel the Torah. He didn't want it. He said, "Give it to Klal Yisrael." According to the Zohar, it's not stam that Esav said I don't want the Torah. He says, "Give it to the Jews." He davka said, "Give it to the Jews," and he was also maida the Yagav Avinu the Bechor. And not only that, he gave him, the desire says, Esav gave him Matana to the Yidden, to Mekabel the Torah. And similarly with Yishmael, not Stam, he said, I don't want the Torah. He said, give it to Yisrael. And he says, I'm not Zer Avram. Yitzchak's the main one. And he said, also, give him Matana to Klal Yisrael. To marry the Gezoya. The desire really says, the reason why Hashem went to the Umas Adam to offer them the Torah, he knew they weren't going to take it. Because Fakert, Hashem Dafke did that, so that they should officially give up their claim to the Torah. Hashem didn't want them to have any claims. He knew they're not going to take it. But he wanted them. And the woman said, we're not going to take the Torah? Because the Torah makes you weak. We won't be stronger than the Jewish people. If you learn Torah, we become weak. Who needs it? That's not, we don't want it. It's dafka, like a punishment. It's a curse, Torah. Let the Jews have it. This way the Jews will be weak and we'll be strong. And we have, they have no time on Shabbos to do athletics and to play soccer and to get strong and healthy. They're going to get sick. They're going to get these fatty cholent and kugel and go sleepy after that on a full stomach. This is not healthy. Let the Jews have the Torah. Let them get sick. Let them get cholesterol. Let them get all this. let them get diabetes, let them get all these zachen, and we will be healthy because we'll be doing marathons and playing golf on Shabbos. What are you doing? Getting fat and lethargic. No tachlis. Could be out there doing bike riding on Shabbos. Go to the gym. That's what the Greek said. So therefore it says the Zohar that the Goyim, the doctors that give it to the Jews, give, not only that, Hashem, we want to sweeten the pot, and we'll give a gift to the Jews for taking the Torah. Of course, this was Hashem's purpose, that they should willingly abdicate their position. What was the gift, though? What? It doesn't say what the gift was. So the Kedush Levi says that the gift was the holy neshamas that were captured by the Goyim. Because the Chofetz Chaim says that when the Goyim said, we don't want the Torah, that was only the vast majority. There were individuals that said, we do want the Torah. Those are the holy souls locked up within the Goyishan nations. So the gift that the Yishmael and Esav voluntarily gave away was the gift of those good neshamas that until then were locked up in the sphere of influence of Esav and Yishmael. They said, we'll emancipate them and let them go to the Jews. These are the neshamas, HaKadosh is Chavushim Bohem, that they can become Gerim, they'll convert. And the greatest of all those neshamas that was released was Rus. She had such a high neshama, the Mashiach comes out from Rus. So therefore we read Rus and Shavuos to Meramez, that it was on Shavuos that the neshama of Rus was liberated. So don't think that the Gerim process of Rus started in the time of Boaz, which is maybe 300-400 years after Mount Torah. The process of the liberation of Rus took place at Mount Torah, because the Goyim gave her over to Klai Yisrael then. So if we read it Davka on Shavuos, Mount Torah, to tell you, this is where the Rus saga starts, because at Mount Torah, the Goyim voluntarily gave away to the Yidden neshamas of the Gerim, including, of course, neshama of Rus. So that's another reason why we read it on Shavuos. And then there's a few more things I want to tell you about here. There's a lot of stuff. So he says, another Yisite, very quickly, a quick Yisite. He says in the Tanchuma that the Luchas Rishayim were broken because Shaltav and Ayin Hara. And Ayin Hara went on them. So there's a very shver zach. So Hashem didn't know that. Why did he give? He said the Luchas Rishayim were given for Hesya. Luchas Rishayim were given publicly. That's why Shaltav Ayin Hara. So why did Hashem give it public? Hashem likes to see us. Why did he make it? Why did he do the first ones? Hashem doesn't know that. Hashem is happy that the first Luchos should be broken. He should have warned us. He shouldn't have given it so publicly. It's his fault. Zakh the Kedushas Levi, the Ayin Hara. Who gave the Ayin Hara? Look, these days, the Ayin Hara came from the Goyim. Not the Yidden gave the Ayin Hara, he gave the Ayin Hara to themselves. The Goyim, after all is said and done, were jealous. So as much as it says that the Rebbeinu Shlom offered it to the Goyim and they voluntarily rejected it, but the fact is that if deep in their hearts the Goyim knew the value of Torah, and therefore they talk it didn't forgive it to us. They knew it. They don't want it. They think it's for them, it makes them weak. But they know there's a lot of wisdom in Torah. They know that there's a Gevaltik of Chochma, Kedusha, Brachas. So the fact is, they didn't forgive us the good parts of the Torah. And that's why the guy in Ayin Hara, not from Yidden, the Ayin Hara came from the Goyim. And therefore, says the Morinayim, also the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Lasad Lavai, Lahachzer Saluchas Rishonis Yisrael. We'll get back to the first Luchas. Because the first Luchas were incredible. They're coming back. The Chiddush, I never heard that one before. And they don't bring a Maror Mokum, but it's a big Chiddush. That the first Luchas are coming back was the love in the time of the Mashiach. Now, another thing is, another you said about Torah, says in the Medrash that the Torah nitna beish shachar al gabi eish levana. It's really a Rashi, mazai sabracha. Mimina eish das lamai. The Torah is black fire on white fire.
And he says, what does this mean? There's black fire and white fire. This is a brilliant word. This is a Elul Shechap. He says, what's this? Why is it? Why do you say it's black fire and white fire? Maybe it should be white fire and black fire. Why don't we have, maybe it's black fire, it's white written on black. It wouldn't be nicer that letters of the Torah being white on black than black on white? Isn't it be nicer to call the words of the Torah like white? So he says, no, the Pshat is like, the Gemara says in Tainus that you say that Tzadik Goyzer V'Kodesh Baruch Mekayim. They said it, I think it's from Chinim Adoy, Tzadik Gazartam Lamata, HaKodesh Baruch Mekayim Lamala. Same thing by Chani Amago. The Tzadik is Goyzer below, and Hashem fulfills his wishes above. Now, there's a big difference between black and white. White is all the colors. White is all the colors in the spectrum. Just as you have to have a prism to break down the white light. Break it down with a prism, you see all the different spectrum colors from ultraviolet to ultra red. Black is only one color. Black is black. Black is an absence of color. It's the exact opposite of light, of white. So he says that, the Zohar says that the Rabbeinu Shlalom is white. He's always described it white. Because Hashem has all the colors, Hashem has everything. Hashem is white, light, and we, Klai Yisrael, Sfakir, we're black. That's why we're black. We're black, we only have one color. So that's what he explains at least. That white is the Rabbeinu Shlalom, we're black. And that's why the Torah is written, black fire on white fire. Because that's how we write the Torah today, we write black ink on white parchment. Because the white parchment of the white fire represents the Rabbeinu Shlom, who has everything, all the colors. And the black ink represents Klai Yisrael, just one color, or no color. And that's why it's black on white to show the Wid of Alabatim, of the Torah. And Tzadik Goyz Mulamata, and the Kodesh Baruch Mekayim Lamala. What the Tzadik says overpowers, so to speak, the Ratzon Hashem, or that is the Ratzon Hashem. And when we pass, and he doesn't say this in the Knesset, but the halacha is decided like what we paskin down here, not like what we paskin in Mishif de Rekia. So again, it is us on top of him. The black fire, the black ink is on top of the white fire and the white parchment to show that we're the Balabatim. We blackies are the Balabatim over Kaviyach and Rabban Shalom, who is white in all the colors. Mary the Gupshat. That's what it's after. Eish Levana, Eish Shchar Gavad Levana, and that's why it's black ink on white parchment. Psh. Louis Shechaps, the Kedusha's lady. Now, she's still awake. There's a lot of things here. I'll tell you just two more things. Okay, two more things tonight, gentlemen. One thing is, says the Kedusha's lady, you know, that once we've been talking about the letters of the Torah, we've been talking about the Shayrish and the Shamas, or letters of the Torah. That was the Moranayim mostly. He said, you know, Shari Yaira, an early basic Kabbalah Sefer, tells us the secret of the name of Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Same with the name of Adnus, Hashem's mastery. Of course, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud is Gematria 65, right? So, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud is the important name of Hashem. Baruch Atah, Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. You put Aleph Dalad Nun Yud together with Yud Gav Gav Gav, so you get... You get 91, the Shiluf of 26 and 65. But he says, the Shteik and Shari Yoira, that the Aleph of Adnus stands for the Olam Asrafim. There are different levels of Malachim. This is heavy stuff. I wouldn't even say it over, just give you a glimpse of the thinking of these great Mekubalim. So he says, the Aleph of Adnus is the Olam Asrafim. The Dalet is the Olam Achayas HaKadosh. The Nun is the Olam HaDoifanim. The Yud is the Remez for the Kisei covered itself. The Yud is the hardest. The Yud is the Shechin Alein. The Yud is the smallest letter. It's the focal point, the nucleus. It's the nucleus, it's the center. So he says that, as I read, I'll try to say it in the simplest possible way. He says, what is the meaning of these ICs? He says, you should know that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is sitting in Shemayim all the time, and he's making Tzirufim of these ICs. He is rearranging the ICs in different ways, and different things come out. What does it mean? He says, because whenever the Rebbeinu is thinking about the highest, the lowest world is Srafim, and then you have Chayez HaKadosh, then there's a, actually Srafim, it could be higher than Chayez HaSrafim, but you find the Chayez HaKadosh. I'll leave it, he says these are the three worlds, Srafim, Chayez HaKadosh, Leifanim. I'm not sure the order goes that way. It doesn't make a difference. He doesn't say it. The highest thing is Zichr the Yud of the Kisei HaKavod, that's for sure. So, Srafim, Leifanim, the Chayez HaKadosh, then he speaks this, and then the Kisei HaKavod. The Rebbeinu is constantly rearranging the different oilemas. Actually, this is very interesting. That would really forever something, because I really have a problem. Kedushas Levi says elsewhere, Taka, that, with the name of the Melech, that the Srafim, Vayifanim, Vachayas HaKadosh, sounds like Chayas HaKadosh is the highest. But the truth of the matter is that the Srafim are higher. Right? So, the Kedushas Levi understands a lot better. Because he says that Hashem is mixing him up all the time. He's changing his tzerufim all the time. So it's very good. Sometimes Chayez HaKadosh is higher, sometimes Srafim are higher. It depends where the Rebbeinu is holding with them. He says, just like the Rebbeinu is mixing up the higher worlds all the time, so too the Rebbeinu has tzerufim of the layers of the Torah. And, for instance, when the Rebbeinu created, he says, the Likud is this. He says, the Rebbeinu created the world and maintains the world like a good architect. An architect, when he's building a building, so he's building the Empire State Building. How many stories is it? 100 stories. So, his kavanah was to build a very high building, which is 100 stories high. But when he's thinking about the top of the building, which will be so high, with a spire on top, and so impressive, he just can't think of the top of the building. When the minute he thinks about the height and the top, he has to think about the bottom, the foundation, to make sure the foundation was supported. And that's also not good enough. He has to think about the middle of the building. How are we going to make sure it's strong in the middle to support such height? So, he can never just think of the top. He has to think of the middle, he has to think of the bottom, he has to think of the whole building. So to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Only he can do this is like a computer, Kavi Yachal. That when he's thinking about the Aleph of the Torah, he's already thinking about the Tav of the Torah. Because he's always thinking about what impact the light of the Aleph will have even on the furthest light letter away, the Tav. That's S. And then Hashem, when he thinks another Cheshbon. What's the impact going to be? Not just the bottom letter, the Tav. What's going to be on a letter a little higher? The Shin. So you have Aleph Shin, Aish. And then he thinks, what's going to be on the next letter? It's a little higher than the Shin. That's the Reish. You have Ar. So you have S, Aish, Ar. The point is just, there are a bunch of things for all the Tzerufim, all the letters. And this, he says, in Kabbalah is known as Kishute Kala. The ornaments of a Kala. What does that mean? When a kala gets dressed up, a kala in the time of Chazal wore 24 different articles of jewelry. Dalia Doi gets married, she has to have 24 pieces of jewelry. She has to have necklaces, earrings, rings, bracelets, rings on the hand. Women used to wear bracelets on their feet. They wear different kinds of clothing. They have a tiara on their head. But you cannot buy one piece of jewelry individually. It has to be an ensemble. An ensemble means everything mixed, everything matches. Right? You have to have the earrings. You can't wear one earring this way and one earring that way. One red earring and one blue. They can do anything, but when people are normal, every earring match, the earrings match each other and they match the necklace. And they match the tiara. And it was the match, and the bracelet, and the brooch, and the cameo. And everything. And the rings. That's the match. So therefore, when we talk about the Rebbeinu Shlomo, mixing and matching the letters of the Torah, to see how it all works, the whole binyan, the top, the bottom, the middle, it's called Kishute Kala. It's called the ornamentations of the bride. And that's why Kabbalah Zatayr is always like a chasna. Because we weren't just makabel the letters of the Torah the way we see it. We makabel the letters of the Torah mixed up and organized and realigned in countless myriad ways. And finally, he says, there's the last piece here in Shavuos, says the Halig of Kedushas Levi, that all the Amatayvim have to have a remez, have to have an illusion in Shavuos. Since Shavuos is Kabbalah's Torah and the beginning of Torah, so every single other holiday has to have a source in Shavuos, because Shavuos is the Shirish of the whole Torah and all the Mayadim. So how does it work? What's the remez? It's Rosh Hashanah. How do you have a remez to the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah in Shavuos? I think we could use one now. A shofar. There was a shofar on Har Sinai. When is Tom a shofar on Har Sinai? It's because there was Hashem was waking us up at Har Sinai, like wakes up on Rosh Hashanah, the Remez Rosh Hashanah. Sukkis. Well, because Sukkis is like we're under the Anani HaKavod. And the Anani HaKavod are like the wings of the Shechina. The Mount Tabor also. There was Anani HaKavod. The Har Sinai was covered with clouds. That the clouds of Sukkis. So, Netilas Alulav, Gam Ken Kabbalah, so he says, Netilas also is to protect us from all sides, and we chase away the bad winds and the bad spirits with Netilas Alulav. It's like the protection all around, but on their covered. And there was a cloud in Har Sinai. Pesach is together with Shavuos. Because Shavuos is considered the Shemini Atzeres of Pesach. The 70 is a Pesach with the Raisa. And that's why Shavuos is called Atzeres, because it's like Shemini Atzeres. But where do you get Yom Kippur? Uh-huh. What? Where do you get Yom Kippur Merumas on Shavuos? Where do you get Yom Kippur Merumas on Shavuos? The Teretz is very positive, he says. Because it says in Yerushalmi Bikurim, Gimel Michael and Hema Avanaisam. Three people get instant amnesty for their Averis. One of them is the Chosin. And the Kala. And the Chasna. And that's why Chazal say the Pasuk in Shir Shirim. Send the Renab Lez Yushlayim, Babel Shlomo. Right? Yom Chasunasai means Matan Torah. Matan Torah is considered the Chasna. We learn all the Minhagim of Chasna is Matan Torah. So it comes out that Shavuos is the Chasna, Hashem is the Chasna, we're the Kala, and all of our Averis are in the Mchalim. So it's a remez Yom Kippur on Shavuos. Because on Yom Kippur, Michael and Kalam and Isav, and on Shavuos, Michael and Kalam and Isav, because we become like a Chasna. We're actually the Kala. The Bajan of the Chasna, we're the Kala. What? He only mentions one, the chosin. The only, the mechilas, Avinu says the chosin, what else? Who's other, no. It says in Yerushalmi that three people, Hashem's Michael are Averis. Chosin and Kala is the same thing. The other two, I think, are, someone who's other Lagdula. Who's other Lagdula, and what else is it? No, there's not Averis to start with. Someone who's other Lagdula, a chosin and Kala, and there's a ger maybe, and maybe it's a ger. It could be a ger. We have to look up Yerushalmi Bikurim, Paragimel Alacha Gimel. You can look it up. It's your homework. Yerushalmi Bikurim, Paragimel Alacha Gimel. At any rate, a chosin is one of them. And, therefore, Matan Torah is compared to a chasna, the teacher of the Yemaychal Avon Aysam, therefore it's like Yom Kippur. So we have Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, Yom Kippur, Mechila, Sukkis, Anani HaKavod, like Har Sinai, and Pesach, he says, is the original holiday of Sukkis. The preparation of the Sukkis, and for Shavuos, I mean, starts at Pesach. And Shavuos is the Zman HaTzeres at the end. So therefore, the whole process, Shavuos Omer, Ulen, Hayom, Arbov, Arbov, Yom, Shehem, Shish, Shavuos, Shnei Yom, and Boimer. Now it's 44 days. It's getting close, my friends. We only have 5 days left. And it all started Pesach. That's the Torah process. Okay, so these are the words of the Kedushas Levi here, gentlemen. We'll stop with this.
And we should all be zeichet to a meaningful Kabbalah Zatayr.